kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To encourage and share in the word with you, and I have a title for our teaching today, and we're calling this We Are Free by the Liberty of Christ. We are free by the liberty of Christ. And I want us to turn to the book of Galatians, and here in this book the Apostle Paul deals with those who are placing themselves back under the law, under bondage. And he goes in quite depth in this book, and if you've not really ever studied it, my suggestion is that you should. And we're calling this today, We Are Free by the Liberty of Christ. Galatians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 11 onwards. And here is where God reveals by revelation in which to deal with these problems and this problem at the church of Galatia. And he says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." You see, I love that statement, because any true man of God who is called to preach and teach God's word has a revelation that what he preaches is not just in man. It's not just in his intellect, his education, his background, his creed, his nationality, or whatever it would be. This gospel that we preach is not according to man, because flesh and blood cannot reveal this. Many try to understand God's word and they fail, because it has to be revealed. And it is revealed, that is the teaching and preaching and revelation of God's word, is revealed to the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher that God has set in the body of Christ, Ephesians 4. And he goes on, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." There he's appealing to his apostleship. This is what he's giving out to the churches, and this is what we read today after 2,000 years. And we need to hold on to that, because he reveals what Christ has done with the old life, how that Christ has paid the penalty. He has met the demands of the law. The law condemned us. If you place yourself under law, it will condemn you. In fact, it brings a curse upon you. And religious people try and they place themselves under the law. And the reason they do, because the word of God is not being revealed to them. And we will look at that later on. But the apostle's absolutely clear where he received the revelation of liberty that we receive in Christ. Why is God revealing this to this man? Because he was a zealot. He probably knew more of the law than most people, and he tried to keep it. And God is showing that that has profit nothing to him. It has to be revealed. like everything else. And I think the emphasis of this is being returned again to the body of Christ. God is dealing with the remnant with us, and he's clearly revealing, the Holy Spirit has come to reveal, to be our teacher, to illumine, to open up the Word of God, the revelation of this Word. This is why our minds have to be touched by God. Our minds have to be delivered, illumined by the revelation of God's Word. As we will never understand and we will never experience the liberty and freedom that we have in Christ. If you know the truth, then the truth will set you free, the Lord says. So he reveals what Christ has done with that old life, how we are justified by faith and not by law. You try and justify yourself by the law or good works, and you will fail. You will come under the curse. And what is the curse? It is confusion. It is bondage. It is blindness. And what promotes, what feeds all of that? Religious pride. Let's look to verse 11. Which we've just looked at, and let's take it further from verse 13. For you have heard of the former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. That was the determination of this man. And I advanced to Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Years and years and years, he's having Christ revealed to him, the liberty that is found in him. And God does the same with us. Do you know why? Because we are naturally, by the fall, religious, Pharisaical, hypocritical. We always want to put others right, but we don't see the problem that lies within us. Man is naturally religious because he's going to worship something, he's going to acknowledge something in his life, because he's been made and created for God, for fellowship with him. And he's a fallen being. And the apostle is absolutely clear. He's seen himself. He's seen what a wretched man he is. He's seen exactly where he's gone wrong. He's desperate for change. And God changes him. And look what God did through this man. Now let's take it up to Galatians 5 and verse 1. And here he says, and this is where I get this title today, we are free by the liberty of Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Law is bondage. Trying to keep any aspect of the law is bondage. And we have many today who profess themselves Christians are turning back to keep the Sabbath, to honor it, to rest. And they're returning back to bondage. This is a big problem attacking Christendom. And before you know where you are, it won't only stop there. They will start to introduce circumcision and so on. That is what happens. You see, they do not honor and respect what Christ achieved to us at the cross. And this is why I keep emphasizing the gospel, the emphasis of the gospel is the cross. It is what Christ has achieved for us. You know, these are just some of the reasons why we adhere and we hold to this. Because saints will never come with demands to a believer that they should do this or they should believe that. And yet you hear so much of that in Christendom, in preaching, and so on. We never come with those demands upon those whom we share the good news of the gospel. We do not even do it in our preaching. A spiritual saint will point you to Christ and what he has achieved and he has done on the cross. That is our message. That is what we point sinners to. Christ is our standard that we live by. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus didn't do it in his ministry, in his life. Yes, he prophesied those woes against the Pharisees and the religious people because he saw what they were doing, how that they were deceiving the people, those who were desperately looking for Messiah, looking for salvation. And that we have to attack in the spirit, in our prayers and intercessions, because our warfare is not carnal, but it is spiritual. As one saint said this, we are not asked to believe the Bible, but to believe the one whom the Bible reveals. Let me give that to you again. We're not asked to believe the Bible, but to believe the one whom the Bible reveals. If you just believe in these 66 books, this book that you hold in your hand, and you believe that that is going to get you into the kingdom of God, you have missed it. You are not basing your standard, your life on the one that revealed this, that wrote this, that gave this, whose name is Jesus. We always lift the one up in the Bible, and our standard is his standard, and his standard is our standard. You make any part of this legalistic and you are in trouble. And we did it in the past. And God has been very patient and very merciful with us because he realizes that we don't pick these things up. We're ever learning all the time. The same as we've come today to learn more. What does it say in the Gospel of John? John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and 39 to 40. John chapter 5 verses 39 to 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. They want to stick to their traditions. They want to stick to their doctrines. And he says, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And how do we see that today? Oh, their believed man, their believer denomination, their believer false prophet. But when you try to present Christ, who is our true liberty and freedom and salvation, they don't want it. Do we give up? No. We continue to press in. We pray and intercede for the harvest. Because God said the laborers are few. Pray for the laborers. Because the harvest is plentiful. And that is our prayers and intercessions that God will anoint those laborers to go into the harvest. That's the key. The anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, to whom you trust. And he goes on, you believe Moses, but you don't believe me. And so on. There are these old traditions, the law. Man's happy with that. You see, they do not honor and respect what Christ achieved for us on the cross. And that is why we never lose sight of the cross. It is the root, it is the foundation, it is the preaching. That is where true liberty comes from Christ, because it's what he has achieved, he's done. He has nailed the law, the demands of these 66 revelations and books in the Bible. He's nailed the law that pronounced us guilty. It is nailed to the cross. It is dealt with. God's anger, wrath is dealt with. Appeased, in other words. And it's now mercy and grace and pardon and forgiveness. And that should well out of us like rivers of living water. That is the joy of our heart and spirit. That is the joy of the Lord. That God has had mercy. He has forgiven me. He has cast it away as far as the east is to the west. We must never lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. As the world out there is not going to be convinced. It doesn't want to hear doctrine that you believe. It doesn't want to always hear the revelation that God's giving you. It needs to hear about Jesus Christ, who paid the demands, who paid for our sins, our rebellion, our unbelief, our hardness of heart, everything about us. He has paid that price so that we can become a miracle, a new creation. There is the handiwork of God. And we too are to bring liberty to those whom we come across, to those whom we share the gospel, and preachers and teachers as well. We're to bring liberty for the conscience, for the heart. This is why the word of God is to set the captives free. What is the point of our fellowship? What is the point of coming together? If this is not ministering liberty to our conscience, to our heart. This is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is not liberty for your thoughts. This is not liberty for your opinions. Our opinions often don't line up with God's word. God hasn't saved us to be opinionated. And yet we are. We're all too quick to voice our opinion or political opinion or whatever it would be. We're not saved for that. All of that we get into prayer, into spiritual warfare. Go back to the teaching I gave on Tuesday about the Holy Spirit's prayers. the Holy Spirit's intercessions. If you're concerned about these things, then of course we are. We're concerned about what is going on in the world. We're concerned about how social media is trying to censor now, trying to control freedom of speech. Then take on those burdens of the Holy Spirit and pray that the word will still go forth, that we are still able to meet online, that we're still able to share and talk and type out about the word of God, because the enemy, the powers of darkness, want to try to stop it. And that's not being opinionated, it's just observing, being open to what is happening. We know recently that Elon Musk has bought Twitter over. Everyone's excited about this because it's a right direction to keep the freedom of speech. Well, I hope in God's name that it is. And I am taking encouragement from that because I've been doing much intercession. I believe they are the intercessions of my high priest, who sits on the right hand of the Father, praying what is on his heart, that we can still share and preach the gospel online, because that is the attack. But time will tell whether this man is for freedom of speech. I hope that he is, because he's the most richest man in the world now. And could that be our prayers, our warfare that's achieved this? Well, we look at these things positively. There are many forces out there trying to stop all of this because there are few who write bad things or lie or so-called conspiracy or whatever it is. Well, you're going to get that. But do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? Let's grow up. Let's mature. People are going to say things that upset us. But do we shut down everything because of that? No. We are saints who get into prayer, into warfare, because we know what we're up against. Not flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. There are many things I hear, many things that are wrong that you read. And sometimes God will have me to pray about that. But I'm not to be opinionated by it. I'm not to let my thoughts, my hearts be distracted from the Spirit of God, where there is liberty in the Spirit of God and freedom. Otherwise, I bring myself under bondage. This is why we are not to become political as Christians. And sadly, that is one of the big problems, particularly in the US. Christianity has become political as well. And there's the problem. If we are free with the liberty Christ has given, so will others in the preaching and our witnessing of the gospel. Others will be free as well. You see, whatever God is doing in you and he's doing in me spreads. And if there is bondage, if there is wrong heresy or whatever it is, it spreads. That's why God is working like he is with us. So that the purity of this message, this gospel, the liberty that is to be found in Jesus Christ is witness to others. And that will spread. You mark my words. Always measure your life to Jesus' standard. What did the Lord say? Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That's what he said. Don't place a yoke on others that is not on Jesus Christ. And yet we've done it at times. And we find ourselves, or God will say, you placed a yoke on them that I've never placed on you. And you will not find that in me. We have to be on our guards, brothers and sisters. We really do. We need to keep close accounts and examine our hearts and our motives and our attitudes. Pray often if you are to share and talk with someone, or occasion you're to take to one side and to help and to guide. Be in prayer. Make sure that what comes out of your mouth, you're not placing a yoke upon them that is not found in Jesus Christ. You see, it takes us a long time, doesn't it, to stop thinking that unless everyone sees things exactly as we do or I do, they must be wrong. Well, have you ever thought that God's brought somebody along your side to actually teach you? He's done that many times with me. Yes, there have been times when I felt offended. But when I have been still, I realize God was showing me something through that situation or through that person or whatever it would be. My first experience of the getting baptized in the Holy Spirit goes way, 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 way back in the times when I was in the denomination. And yes, in that church, we did have a revival. There were many coming to Christ. There was a move of the Holy Spirit. And there were young people, and there was a group for the Crusades, it was called, and there was a young man, and I was sort of quite involved in the church, yes, recognized, and yes, I liked all the recognition, and I liked all the works, and thinking I was doing it for God. And this young man said to me, he said, you have need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've heard you talking, we've heard you sharing the gospel, but you need an empowerment. And I looked at him and I felt it rise up and I thought, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Youngster, he was no more than about 13, 14. But you know, when I went away, his words burnt into my conscience. God was using it. And yes, I thought, well, if this is true, and I went to the scriptures and there I could see that experience, and for 3 weeks God tested to see whether I would have the faith, the endurance to believe what he said in his word. And by about 3 weeks I was thought, well, no, he's obviously wrong, it's not for me, you know. And suddenly God had mercy upon me. And down fell the power of the Holy Spirit, and the next thing coming out of my mouth were those wonderful languages. God was faithful, but look how he did it. He had to deal with pride in me, arrogance. So we can never limit how God works and whom he brings along our path. And sometimes it can offend. It can offend our intellect or whatever. But God calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. And he does every time. So you see, we need to be patient and gentle. And yet at the same time, we never water down the truth. Sometimes we're to withhold certain things in scripture until we know that saint or that babe has come to that place where they can receive it. You cannot cram the meat of the word in a baby. They will choke. And this is where in the fivefold ministry, God has to place that sensitivity in those ministries. Because it's not always the right time. I have found many times when being going out and preaching, and I used to go abroad to preach. I was going to preach on a certain thing. I wanted to bring a certain thing up. And God said, no, he diverted me. He moved me away. Right in that meeting, right in that preaching. And I would go away and say, Lord, that needed to be said. He said, yes, but not now. You see, you have to learn these things because we are free by the liberty of Christ. We are working, we are laboring, we are moving forward, that all those who come to Christ know the liberty that is to be found in Christ. And that's why we make disciples. As we know in Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28 and verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples, not church members, not encouraging someone to sit under that minister or go to that church. No, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So did you know the church? Did you know that it is your calling to baptize in water those that give their hearts to Christ, baptizing them into the name of Jesus? Did you know that that is your responsibility? It's not always the minister's responsibility. We've got it all wrong. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're also called to be teachers. In other words, to open up the scriptures. It's not talking about an office ministry there. It's talking about your experience, the light, the revelation that you have in the Word of God, what God has revealed to you, to share with them as the Spirit leads. Are you asking God, are you interceding for that to happen in your life? I think that is one of the prayers of our high priest who wants to impart that to you. I'm bringing this up because one or two of you found Tuesday's teaching very challenging, and I knew it was going to. And some have asked some further questions because they haven't fully understood. And this is why I'm bringing this back up, so that you can understand what we were saying on Tuesday, so that you can incorporate these in your prayers as they are revealed by the Spirit. And you will start to find your intercessions will become the intercessions of Jesus, the high priest. You will be one with him in your praying. Wow, just think about that. No wonder the enemy tries to attack in prayer. And so we're called to make disciples and not converts to our thoughts and our opinions. And this is another reason why the Holy Spirit has been dealing particularly with pride. You see, pride is experiencing being influenced not by Christ, but by the enemy. And that's what pride does. And this is why I've dealt with pride over the years, because that is the enemy's problem. That is why he fell. And he wants to keep professing believers, Christians, bound by pride. And this is why God has to deliver us from this. Because pride is being influenced by the enemy and not by Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, didn't he, that your father is the devil. And that is the problem with pride. If you don't deal with pride, It's no good believing or thinking that your Heavenly Father is your Father. It is not. Your Father has become the devil. Let's read it here in John 8, 43 to 45. John 8, 43 to 45. Why do you not understand? I want to read this again. My speech, because you are not able to listen to my words. Why? Because it's pride. They're opinionated. They've got their doctrine, their beliefs. They're politically minded as well. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And he goes on, he was a murderer and a deceiver and no truth to be found in him. So in other words, pride will deceive you so much that you begin to do the devil's work. And this is going to be where we get the idea of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, who is so puffed up with pride, will be a traitor to the church, to Christians, to true believers, and thinks that what he's doing is for God, his Father, a defender of the faith. That's what happens to religious people. They are so blind. That is why the martyr of the saints goes right through history. The blood that is shed, Christ himself, was handed over for political reasons. They thought they were doing the right thing. And this is what happens when you don't deal with pride. Jesus knew his Father's will. He never argued why the Pharisees couldn't see, because he knew this was the sovereignty of God. He knew what their hearts were. He knew that they were blinded. Did he get upset or whatever? No, he didn't. Because he knew what his Father was saying, and therefore he never got into arguments with them. And we do it. We get into these arguments and these political arguments and whatever it is, because we want our opinions to be made known and try to make it spiritual. No. You don't have opinions when you become a disciple of Christ. And that's the whole point. Because we are set free by the liberty of Christ. And that liberty is dealing with our conscience, our heart, our motives, our attitudes, our opinions. That is what he's come to do. It's nailed to the cross. Why am I stressing this so much? So that you begin to reveal and see and understand what your Father is saying to you. Christ did only that which was revealed. And you walk and do the same. You do only that which is revealed. And this is why the enemy tries to hold us in bondage. But praise God, the Spirit of God is setting the sons of God free. Because if you are free indeed. And he's working this great deliverance in our mind, our thinking, where we think everyone's got to think and believe like I believe. And yet God says you know nothing unless it's revealed to you by the Spirit. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. We are free by the liberty of Christ. Walk in that freedom. Let the Spirit continue to heal and deliver you so that you speak and do and say only that which is revealed, which is the Word of God. And that we do everything in the right heart and the right motive. and that it is pure before God. That is where you're going to get the world's attention. That is where those sinners, those in the highways and the byways, will begin to respond. But they will never respond to your ideas, your opinions, your beliefs, your politics, or whatever it is. They won't respond to that because they hear that every day on the news. No, they need to hear the good news of the gospel, that Christ has paid the penalty of our sin. Praise God.
Cradled in the love of Jesus.